Welcome to Chair Chat, an online web series hosted by me, Jamie Harrison, the chairman of the South Carolina Democratic Party. Our goal in this series is to begin to look at political leaders, activists, and people involved in politics in a three-dimensional manner. We will move past the political caricatures to get to know the individual. So now, let's chat. In the pantheon of U.S. politics, many have been members of Congress. Fewer have been U.S. senators. And even fewer have been speakers of the House. But there has only been one, Madam Speaker. I am so happy and overjoyed to have Madam Speaker Nancy Pelosi on our set here at Chair Chats. Madam Speaker, welcome to Chair
Chats. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
It is so good to see you. It's so good to have you here. You have really been an inspiration and a mentor for me. And I just want to say from the onset that being able to work under you as Speaker of the House was some of the greatest years that I had. And so I just want to thank you for that and thank you for all that you've done for this country. You really are amazing. And you're a former state party chair.
That's right.
Which is also an amazing thing. And so thank you for being here. And
thank you for being the inspiration that you are, because as I said to you probably many times when you were there, Washington is a city, our capital, with statues to many people have gone before, monuments to the greatness of our country. And that's wonderful that we respect our values and the sacrifices that were made. But all of our work has to be about the future. And you as a young leader and your enthusiasm and your taking responsibility inspires us all too.
Well, thank you. Well, you know, I want to talk a little bit about you and your background and growing up, but I also want to talk with you about that moment in which the early moments when you became Speaker of the House. I remember the first State of the Union after the Democrats took the majority, and George W. Bush was the president, and he stood up and turned around and said, you know, I want to congratulate Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House. What went through your mind at this moment? Did you ever think you would ever be there?
No, I didn't. It was never part of any agenda or plan. But it was lovely of President Bush to do that. And actually, he surprised me with it because he said, your father served in Congress. Yeah. And he was very, I know he was very proud of you, but I am the first president who can ever come to Congress and say, Madam Speaker. Which was a lovely thing.
Oh, it was such a great moment. In those first 2 years, what was the most meaningful piece of legislation that we passed for you?
Well, in the 2 years with President Bush. And I'm glad you brought that up, because we worked very cooperatively with President Bush. We disagreed with him on the war in Iraq, and disagreed with him on privatizing Social Security. But that didn't mean we didn't, under our responsibility, to find common ground with him. One of the biggest pieces of legislation we passed with him was the Energy Bill of 2007, which is a remarkable piece of legislation. President Obama uses some of that authority to this day. One of the most progressive pieces of legislation ever we accomplished with him, with the earned income tax credit being refundable to poor people, working poor people. And one of the most global pieces of legislation we worked with is a PEPFAR for HIV and AIDS. So those are just three examples. So for us, when we had President Obama come in, that was remarkable and wonderful, and we could achieve a great deal. But it was disappointing to us when the Republicans took over that they said the most important thing we can do is to make sure this President Obama does not succeed.
Yeah.
It was so counter to all of our experience as to how we treated a Republican president when we had the majority and what our country deserves.
Yeah. Have you been disappointed in terms of the treatment of President Obama by the House Republicans and just congressional Republicans in general?
Yes, it's remarkable to see, even in intimate settings of just a few of the leaders with the president, or just more broadly, almost disdain that they have for the president, it doesn't mean they are not in awe of him mm-hmm. and how impressive he is. In spite of them, this president has been a great president, has accomplished a great deal for our country, most of it when we had the majority, but a good deal of what we did in the majority is what he has, as the executive, implemented as president.
You know, one of and I'll spend this last question on this, and then I would love to talk more about your background and growing up in Baltimore. One of the moments that I remember from that time was the passage of the Matthew Shepard's hate crime bill in that first session. Mm-hmm. I tell people that was the most emotional that I've ever been in politics. And I'm sure you recalled how hard that was for us to get the votes for that. And do you remember that moment when you invited Matthew's mother to come to the caucus to address the caucus? Can you just talk about that a little?
Well, it was emotional. Matthew's mother came and she was very... the challenge was they had said to me, you can have a hate crimes bill anytime you want in a minute if you take out transgender.
Yes.
And I said, well, we won't have a hate crimes bill in 100 years if we take out transgender, because I'm never going to do that.
Exactly.
So the idea was, how do we have the comprehensive bill get the strongest possible votes? Our members were very positive about it, but a vote is
it's hard.
Yeah. So especially the way the other side was characterizing it. So when she came, she was so beautiful and so magnificent to turn her grief into advocacy and really make her case before the caucus. She was bookended by Barney Frank, who told his story, saying, I'm now the powerful chair of the Financial Services Committee, but I always wasn't. I used to be a 14-year-old boy who had questions about my sexual identity. And then on the other side was the sheriff.
Yeah.
From Laramie, and he said, you know, the sheriffs you've heard about who have concerns about gay people in rural America,
that's me.
But he said, seeing what I saw, I'm going around the country to tell a different story.
Yeah.
So Mrs. Shepard not only transformed the Congress, she transformed the sheriff to help transform America.
Well, and I think she transformed our caucus too, because I think a lot of folks took courage. You know, in some of the more conservative districts and for members that we had in the caucus, that was a very difficult vote. But I think, I mean, in your leadership and vision to bring her to the caucus to make that
presentation. Her generosity.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't a dry eye in that caucus that morning. So it's one of those things that will live with me for forever, and I want to thank you for your leadership in getting that.
Well, it was it was transformative. What has motivated me to be in politics is the fact that I see the opportunity, the needs, the aspirations of our children, and it just breaks my heart. Yeah. I can't tolerate the fact that 1 in 5 children in America lives in poverty.
And it's even worse here in South Carolina. It's 1 in 4.
1 in 4, and probably leaning that way in the country, that they go to sleep hungry. And not only about food, but where they live and the time that their parents do not have to mentor them because they're holding down 2 or 3 jobs. It's just not right. These are the heirs of America.
Exactly.
Just as much as a Rockefeller would be an heir, these children are all America's future. And we owe them so much more. And that's... the 1 in 5 children in poverty is my motivation for even being in politics. And it's what I get up in the morning ready to do. It's what I pray for at night.
Yeah. Well, and I know faith is very important to you. Did you ever think about exercising a role in the Catholic faith as
a nun?
Yeah,
my mother had that aspiration for me, that I would be a nun. She thought that was probably the most beautiful life to lead. She had 7 children, not that she didn't enjoy that, but she wanted me to be a nun. I didn't really think too much about it. I might have become a priest.
Yes, exactly. I could see you as...
Well, priests, imagine, remember, a priest in our faith, priests have the power to change bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ.
Yeah.
That's the power.
That's power.
And it's what we believe. And so, but no, I had no vocation. God did not bless me with a vocation to serve in that way. Yeah. But he did inspire me with faith, exactly. Which is a gift.
It is a gift.
It's a gift. I in services this morning at Morris Brown, I was talking to Reverend Watkins afterward. He gave a beautiful sermon about hope. Hope springs from faith. Mm-hmm. You have faith in God and you have hope. And I said, Reverend, I always say, when people ask me where is hope, I say it's always sitting comfortably between faith and charity.
Exactly.
So faith gives us hope in the charity of others and the love of others that we can succeed. Yeah. And so we were comparing our notes on hope.
You know, there's a saying about, just going back to politics a little bit, there's a saying that you can't allow the perfect to be the enemy of the good. There are a lot of folks who are very pure in their politics, and it has to be this way or no way. And I know a lot of our activists in our base really push our members in order to be there. As Speaker of the House, when you first took over and you had a 15-seat majority, it was very hard to always get the perfect. But how did you find that balance? How did you bring the caucus together in order to really get things done?
Well, it is appropriate to say that perfect can be the enemy of the good, but whose view of perfect is the prevailing view? And as long as you go for the highest common denominator, mm-hmm. that you don't say, well, we can't get the perfect, so we'll settle for this. No, you have to fight for the highest values-based, transformative common denominator. And the way we have succeeded always in our caucus is that we have been united not by orchestration, mm-hmm. but by values. Mm-hmm. We believe in fairness and opportunity, and that everybody should have a fair shot in our country. That's what we believe. So everything falls under that. Yeah. So when people say to me, how do you keep everyone together? I say, our values keep us together. How we execute that really is by consensus. This is our challenge. This is our opportunity. These are our possibilities. Where can we come out with the strongest, most transformative solution, exactly. where that we can stick together and have the votes? Because without the unity, then we don't even get the good.
What are your thoughts on how this Republican Party has shifted from, the party of years past? And how do you deal with that frustration of hearing this type of rhetoric?
The Republican Party, the Grand Old Party, is a great party in our country. Mm-hmm. Accomplished many good things for our country, had many great presidents and legislative leaders throughout our country. I think it has been hijacked by an element that are really merchants of fear. Mm-hmm. We consider ourselves the party of hope, the Democrats. When I went to Congress 28 years ago, we had a lively competition of ideas in the House, but it really wasn't the politics of destruction, personal destruction, questioning motivation. That would come later from the Republicans, unfortunately. And the party has been hijacked by an element that I think is even foreign to many of the Republican leaders. So I always say to them, to the Republicans, take back your party. This isn't who you are.
Yeah.
But it's a challenge within their primaries. And they say to me, well, you have to beat them in the election, and then we'll beat you in the next election.
Yeah.
And then, we welcome that opportunity.
Well, last question. Who do you think will be the nominees? I won't put you on the spot about the Democratic side, but on the Republican side, who do you think will probably end up, and you can give me one or two, that you think might end up as the nominee?
I'm the last person to ask about what happens on the Republican nomination. I can't even tell you who I think will carry California, my own state, because we're a very diverse state, a range of opinion there. So I don't know who will win the Republican nomination. I can tell you with absolute certainty that the Democrat will carry California in the general election. But I think a lot has to unfold, and it remains to be seen how the more, shall we say, serious elements of the Republican Party can take back that process. On our side, any one of them would be better than any one of the Republicans, that's for sure. Of course, there's a great deal of excitement about having a woman president, Hillary Clinton, if she wins, which it appears she will be the best qualified person to enter that office in a long time, including her husband, who was wonderful president, including Barack Obama, a wonderful president, including George Bush, a president. I mean, I respect him. Yeah, I worked with him. But none of them have the qualifications that she has going into that office. But again, it's a democratic process. We'll see what happens. We're proud of the message of Bernie Sanders. I think that will help us in the general election. Martin O'Malley, attracting a younger group of people to the party. All of it will add up to a Democratic success. I'm absolutely certain we'll have a Democratic president.
Well, great. Well, Madam Speaker, thank you so much. I hope not only do we have, and I'm sure we're going to have a Democratic president, but I also am looking forward to also calling you our next new Speaker of the House as well.
But thank you so much for your leadership, Mr. Chairman. We're very proud of you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us here on Chair Chats.
Thank you.
And thank you, because you're always welcome on Chair Chats.
I've been drinking the lemonade.
On the next Chair Chats,
one of the things that I would love to hear from you, you've had some of the most interesting hearings on Capitol Hill that
interesting is one way to describe it. You know, if you're in the middle of it, I'm not sure I'd say it was just interesting, you know?
You can also find our podcast on iTunes.